Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was again standing with his two disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are called to be Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Now, the season of Epiphany, we have been hearing of the first disciples. We've been hearing the story of the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. And the amazing thing about those disciples, they were ordinary people who encountered Jesus in very ordinary circumstances, is that they went on from where they were and they shared what they knew, each from their own perspective and each as God gave it to them. And if we think about it, without them and their willingness to proclaim and to point out, and thousands of saints through the ages, and saints I mean in a generic term, members of the Church of Christ, their willingness to teach and to share Jesus with others, we would not be here today. And I think sometimes it's really good to think about that in terms of those who built this building, who started a church here in Crawley Down. Without them, we would not be here. We would not be here to worship today. We would not also know the blessing of faith if those people who we've encountered in our time were, and it gives me a sort of moment to think about, who brought us into faith? Who, by words and actions, encouraged us first to pray? Now, there was a bishop in South Africa that I worked with who used to talk about a Sunday school teacher who had taught him through his childhood and had a profound influence on him. And he went back after he became a bishop to ask her what her secret was and how she had managed to have a profound influence on the children that she taught. And she said, "Well, you know, it wasn't very glamorous. It wasn't very, you know, there were times when I had to get up on a Sunday morning and I could think of other things I could be doing. And it was quite difficult. Some of the children were quite badly behaved. But I carried on." And she said, "Well, the one thing that I tried to do every time I went on a Sunday morning and I looked out at my Sunday school class was, which of these children might possibly be president one day? Which of these children might possibly be a great scientist? Which of these children might possibly be a great thinker in the future, a great philosopher? And aside from that, which of these children, you know, are they're going to be adults one day? The influence upon them, how are we going to teach them to be good husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, leaders in the community?" And she said that really motivated what she was doing. Well, if you think about that, one of those children actually became a bishop. Who by words and by actions encouraged us first to pray? Who by example and teaching brought you to the point of living your life for Christ? Thank God for them. I thank God daily for those who shared and continue to share with me what they know and understand and believe to be true about Jesus. I thank God for them because they help me discover what I need to discover. They help me to form my relationship with Christ. Who do we thank God for? We should thank God for them. And having thanked God for those who draw us closer to the faith, the next question is, who gives thanks to God for our witness? Many in our world need to hear and to see how Jesus has had an impact in our lives. And my friends, we do not need special qualifications to be a witness to Christ. We just have to want to say and live the way Jesus would want us to live. We don't need a course in how to testify to God's love and how to witness to Christ. We don't need a degree or a certificate in theology to give the good news and to live the good news. We just got to want to. We've got to want to share what we know. Now, John the Baptist, in our gospel reading, he was in a place and in a situation where he could simply point to Jesus and say to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God," and he did. But then John was used to standing out in front of a crowd, and he was used to speaking out in front of people. Andrew, on the other hand, Andrew began where he was. He began at home with his brother. And his brother became what is believed, well, he became the first pope, the first leader of the Church of Christ, St. Peter. Now think about it. If Simon hadn't gone, if Andrew hadn't gone home to Simon and said, "I've seen Jesus," what kind of an impact would that not have had? Sometimes the smallest little things mean so much. And as with that Sunday school teacher that I spoke of, we do not know what an influence that we have. And it doesn't always have to be the big, outdoor, big, preachy things. It can just be a simple conversation, a cup of tea. And then to avoid confusion and needless complication, Andrew does something both simple and profound. Instead of trying to say anymore, because sometimes I think as Christians we can try to say too much, he takes Simon to meet Jesus and takes Simon to where Jesus is to be found. And that's what it's all about. Getting people to a place where they meet Jesus in us. Now, as I talk here today about John and Andrew and how they shared what they knew and how like we can be the same way in sharing Christ, I want to be clear that I am not talking about statistics. Now, I have been doing my parish returns this week. Every incumbent in the land over the month of January has to send statistics to a central point. How many baptisms, how many funerals, how many people attended this, how many people attended that. It's necessary for running the organization, of course. But I'm not talking about us going and getting results, about filling the church or getting some form of gold star. Let me be controversial and say none of that is important. None of that is about what it means to be a follower of Christ. We can't earn our way into heaven by doing good deeds, nor by growing a franchise of dedicated Christians. Because it's about life. It's about encountering Jesus, a relationship with Jesus. That's all that matters. And as we share Christ with others, Christ becomes even more real to us. It's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the very first moment that Jesus began his ministry, and the moment that John pointed to Jesus and said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Andrew went to his brother and said, Simon, I have found the Messiah, and then took him to meet him. Amen.